This is the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Anfield.
There's a little bit there. I think the decision we go towards surgery, there was a little chance that we could try without, but after talking to pretty much all experts, it looks like surgery will be the best thing for, especially in the long term, definitely. And that means he's out for a while. Don't know exactly how long, but is it shoulder surgery? It's not an easy one. You can train, from my experience, you can train pretty quickly again, but not football specific because of, you have to be careful, challenges and all these kind of things. So, yeah, we'll be out for a while.
Any other potential returnees this week as well, thinking Cody Gakpo, Jota, Bajcetic, are they available?
Jota was not injured, he was suspended. Yeah, thank you very much, sir. Diogo is available again, if nobody tells me differently. And Cody trained once with the team, so we have to see how that goes for tomorrow. Stefan out, Thiago out. Who else did you name
another? I think that was it.
Oh, Ben Doak. Doak from Scotland has a little muscle thing, so we have to see, but it's not available for the weekend. Luke Chambers trains today, first time again after a little ligament issue. Conor Bradley still out. Yeah, that's it.
Obviously, Curtis is still suspended. So, McAllister, Szoboszlai, Gravenberch and Endo have never played in a Merseyside derby. I just wondered, does it make a difference then that their first experience of the occasion would come at Anfield? I'm thinking back to last season as well, when Cody Gakpo, his first goal for the club, came in his first Merseyside derby.
Yeah, Merseyside derby is a special game, no doubt about that, but it's a high-pressure game if you want, and they all played them. Maka played it for sure, the World Cup, or with Argentina. Dom played Serbia recently in a super important high-pressure game. So they are used to the kind of game, to the exact game. Not, yeah, that's true. But actually, I cannot change that now. And I cannot show them a movie of derbies and say that's how it will be, because they were all different as well. So I don't think we should make it too big for them. I think they are ready for it, no doubt about that. And that's it. That's how it is with changes. When the most experienced, really experienced players leave the club, then you have to make your own experience again yourself, and that's what we do. That's it.
You've lost just one Merseyside derby in 18. So what are you expecting from Sean Dyche and Everton this time?
When was that?
That was Carlo Ancelotti in charge a few years back.
One too much, huh? So, but they were all different, all difficult for different reasons. And I don't think it makes too much sense to compare now other derbies with this derby, because a different team, different manager. So let's have a look at the facts, and that the facts are that Everton is in a good moment. Might have had was a difficult finish of the season, but successful, we stayed in, and then the start was not that easy, but since 3-4 weeks they get the results in. Before that they had already performances, at least shots on goal, stuff like this, not always an awful lot of possession, but knowing how to find the goal and the direction, so that's good. You can see it. I think it's clear. Burnley in the best moments was a super difficult team to play, and you can see that again. Similar things, different players, similar things, and it's good. It's difficult to defend. We have to be ready for second ball fights. We have to be ready for runs in behind. We have to be ready for a compact defense, all these kind of things. So, yeah, it will be a tough one. Derbies always were tough. Premier League games always are tough. So we just have to make sure we are in this football understanding, that we are patient enough. all of us people as well. We have to make sure we just put the proper shift in, take the fight, and go for it. That's it.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
In the absence of Andy Robertson and Costa Simicas, likely to be involved more in the team, he showed his commitment and signed a new contract recently. Just how important is it to have players like that who are ready to be ready to perform when called upon and ready to be prepared and involved with the team?
Yeah, very, very important. So that's, yeah, that's clear. It always was like this. We have, thank God, it's not only Costas we have for that, because otherwise would be already, for the amount of games we have, we would already be again a bit short. But we have Joe Gomez, who can play the position. We have Luke Chambers and other young boys who show up in training quite frequently. So we have them now in the national break training weeks. So until yesterday, when the other boys were not in yet, you see the boys, the young kids really showing up, and it's good. So there's a lot of talent in there, so you need options. That's clear. And Costa is definitely the most experienced on the position, so that's good. But he cannot play all the games from now on, so we need other options as well, and that's what we have to make sure, that we can use all of them.
We mentioned the absence of Curtis Jones as well. Just in terms of that midfield area, do you still feel like you're in the trialing phase of working out who's best positioned where? McAllister's been playing in the six, who's playing alongside him, or are you enjoying that challenge in the midfield?
I don't think we're in a finding phase really, but it's early in the season, so who knows who will play from next week on which position, because it depends on availability and stuff like this. So, but it's the way we play, it's definitely possible. We have to be, you only talk about a player on a position that he has not this or that and these kind of things when you are, as a team, when you are not compact enough. So when we talk about defending, that's how it is. And I think, of course, Maka can play the position. There's no doubt about it. We can play a different system. We can play with two double pivot if you want. That might be then 2 8s rather than 2 6s. Whatever. That's the situation. But there are really plenty of things. And that's not my problem at all in the moment. So that I think about that and wake up at night and think, who can we put there? Endo played again two really good games for Japan. So coming back, but it's a tricky selection, just because they came yesterday. What is that? Like an easy session. So it's like coming in, warming up, Rondo, and then you send them in again. So we have to wait how they feel. We have to talk to them. It has nothing to do how it was 4 weeks ago. It's always different. We try to organize the traveling slightly better this time. That hopefully helped. And so, yeah, it's not a problem who can play where. It's just we have to make sure that we find the right players who are able to able for the intensity of that game, because obviously Everton trained, I think, nearly the full squad there. Obviously not all of them, but they had the majority of the players together. So we have to make sure we can really, keep that intense level of what is needed in the derby. Welcome.
Jürgen, great record in Merseyside derbies. What's happened in the past obviously doesn't dictate what happens in the future, but what do you think of being the key factors in enabling you to come up with a record like that in these sorts of matches?
Never thought about it, because it's rather uncomfortable if you tell me about my good record, because I couldn't be lesser interested in what happened. Really. So what does that mean? You won a game last week, you won a game 5 weeks ago, a year ago, 10 years ago, who cares? That's really not important. So what we always try to make sure that we don't think about these kind of things, about the records and these kind of things, so that we make sure that we are really ready for the game. We understand the importance of the game. We understand the pressure comes up with it. That's how it is. And must always, I can't remember one moment when I said, weekend is derby, and enjoyed that thought. That, oh, it's coming up. It's just not happening. It's just for us. There's a lot of intensity, and even before the first ball is kicked, and that's what you have to make sure that you channel that in the right areas. That you really with all the extra motivation from outside, to make sure you really play the way you want to play, because that makes you, or gives you a chance to win a football game. If you want to play just a game, the other team is asking for it, and it's like, okay, you always react. So we have to push through our own thing. But in moments, they definitely deserve the respect, because they do really well. So Calvert-Lewin is back. Obviously, super helpful, super important player to them. Doucouré looks like back to his best around him with Harrison and McLean on the wings. That's real quality. That's real quality in the middle. Gikon couldn't play, so, but then Onana, Garner, real talent there. Last line, super experienced, and with Brathwaite now, a really good centre-half, left-footed centre-half. So that's a good team, and England's number one in the goal. So that's a really good team. So that's what you think about, and not. I understand the derby, but I cannot prepare it like a one-off game. We have to make sure that we play to our best, and if we can do that, then we are a really difficult opponent. If we are a difficult opponent, we can win the game, and if we do that, then it's fine. And that's all we are thinking about.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Everton look to have a genuine threat in the wide areas, and they've been playing much better recently. Jack Harrison, Dwight McNeil, because of the way Liverpool play, and I know Kostas Tsimikas will more than likely come in at left back. When he plays, he gets into advanced positions. Trent, clearly one of his strengths is playing higher up the pitch. Is that something you try and sort of balance out, because you don't want to leave space?
You speak about football like Everton gets on the ball while Kostas Tsimikas is up front, and we don't react to that. I never understood that. It's not only you, it's in general very often the case. If this happens and he's in 1-1 with him and stuff, yeah, in football that can happen. But that Kostas is on the right, on the left, what is that, corner flag, and on his side probably then, the winger is high up on the other side. There must be the ball somewhere. So, and we cannot look at football like that, or I can't at least. In the challenges, it's very important that we win the challenges. That's the key message always before a football game. Find the challenge, search for the challenge, find the challenge, and win the challenge. It's really important. So, but and that somebody is somewhere, and the player he should mark is 80 yards away, and we as a group don't react. That I can't see that happening. But besides that, they have, as I said before, strong players in a lot of areas, to be honest. But we do have pretty good players as well, and we should not forget that. And that's what I want to make sure that we bring that on the pitch as well. How I said, today's analyze with the boys later on here in this room, and they will get all the information they need. But then we have to make sure that we are ourselves, and because that's a super important thing to be.
Thank you. Carl.
Politically motivated question, but Mohamed Salah posted a message on social media this week about the Israel-Gaza situation, which has 170 million views. I'm just wondering how you feel about players getting involved in that sort of thing, and also...
How is that not political?
Well, no, I'm talking about the influence he has. And
Why do you start your question with how you started it, and then it becomes political?
No, it isn't political. I'm not saying
it's not.
Characters, individualism to do that. I'm saying, how do you think, is that important for you as a player to have strong characters, strong personalities, and that will make them successful?
It's very important that we have strong characters, and I was not a little bit in doubt of that, but I'm really not sure that this is the right place to discuss this super, super serious subject in a football environment. You have it's really nice for you that nobody asks you for your opinion in this case. So I really think we should leave it out of this room, but I was not for a second in doubt about Mo's character or whatever. And there's nothing to do with the message he put out.
Any more?
Yeah, was a proud member for Harvey Elliott captaining England under 21s for the first time. How much do you think he's benefited from the leadership of Virgil, Trent, Mo, to name a few?
A lot, but it's more Harvey since he's here. Grew up, matured, became a man, on the way to become a man. And so it's a really good player for us, and it was definitely a proud moment for him. And if you would know him a little bit better, you could imagine how proud it made him and his family. So, yeah. And if you're a good footballer and young and smart, then you take, not sure you need advice, but you take the right role models in the right moment and use the things you see, the things you hear. And that's what Harvey is definitely doing. But on this way, you should not forget we are all different, and so you have to make your own development is very important as well. How you see life, how you understand the things happening around you, and it's a really good, in a good way, I have to say. It played really well, obviously, for England, played well for us in a lot of moments, has still space for improvement, he knows that. We are working on that. But I'm really happy that he came back in with the smile and the face he had when he came in here. So we were asking him if he's still wearing the armband, but he wasn't. And no, all good, and was really, a really nice thing. When I saw it, I thought, okay, that means a lot to him.
Well done. Just last one there.
Yeah, you obviously have got another car 12 kicks after an international break. You said you've done things a little bit different with the South American players coming back. Obviously, they played Wednesday morning, UK time. So what have you done differently to make sure, obviously, Alexis McAllister was on part-time, Darwin didn't start, Luis Diaz didn't start. So what have you done differently to make them think that maybe a little bit better performance at international?
But that's what we always do. I tried the first time; it didn't work out because there was a miscommunication with other clubs. So we booked flights, better flights, brought them all together, picked them up wherever they played, and so they didn't have to take the commercial flights from here to there, which is obviously pretty tiring after 100-minute football, and they leave you at the airport, and then you have to make sure you get your connecting flight, stuff like this. So we are pretty good at that usually, because we had obviously enough opportunities to practice it. And this time it was much better. So the boys were pretty quickly after the game; they were in a plane and could fly straight to England, and that makes a massive difference. So what we can do, we always try to do. First time it didn't work out because it's pretty expensive. You cannot pay all these for planes alone all the time, so we share it usually with other clubs, and this time worked out pretty well.
You've been listening to the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.